welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss any of your firearms-related needs with you. I would like to devote today's show to a topic that over the last week and a half has been raised in a couple of forums. I just happened to come across an article on the United States Concealed Carry Association forum concerning gun training. Should it be required or recommended? That's the first issue, and I'd like our callers to give some thought to that. And give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290 if you have a reaction to that initial assertion that I made. Again, the topic today is gun training. Should it be required or just a recommendation? And my stance is that it should be a strong recommendation, and it's something that we as responsible gun owners should all indulge ourselves into, in whether it's self-training or training from outside entities, versus again, what prompted this was over the last several months, we've had people come to us and say they want to learn to shoot a gun. And right now, with gun sales up 30 to 50% over the last couple of years nationwide, people are starting to ask, why are people buying guns? And the overwhelming reason is for personal safety and self-defense. Let's make no bone about it. Let's just understand that is the reality. Certainly, people are buying guns for recreational shooting and for competitive shooting and other things. But pretty much the number one response is for personal safety and self-defense. They're looking at how things are going and saying, hey, I better be ready if and when bad things come my way. So that being said, the debate is now, should training be required or should it just be recommended? And I'm sure there are people who have strong opinions on both sides of the fence. But I want to hear from you, the listener, the consumer out there, on what your thoughts and feelings are about that issue. I know Mark and I have talked very openly and very candidly, and we've given some pretty heartfelt opinions about how we feel about the Second Amendment. It truly is a right, and it shall not be infringed upon. And requiring training would, to some people, seem to take it a step above where, again, we have another example of government trying to intrude into the daily lives of people, and it's getting more and more prevalent in our society. And are we just going to turn our cheek and take it, or are we going to take a stand, and we're going to have an opinion, and we're going to let our feelings be known? This being an election year, your voice will be heard, particularly this year, maybe more now than many other years of the past. But let's kind of confine today's discussion, at least initially, to that particular issue. Given that gun sales are up 30 to 50%, depending on which number you look at, that's still a significant increase. People are getting guns for personal safety and self-defense. That's a pretty much irrefutable reason for people buying guns. What responsibility do they have? Do they have a personal responsibility, or if they don't assume that personal responsibility, should that requirement be mandated by government? I know that that already gets in the crawl of many people, and I want to hear from you. Call in at 457-1290. Let me know how you feel about that issue. I'm going to do a lot of talking today because I think Mark caught the tail end of the terrible flu and cold that I had a couple of weeks ago, and he's not in very good shape, so he's kind of manning the controls. You're with us there, Mark, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm here. I'm just fine, but it's not quite the same golden tones as usual. It's a little bit cloggy, but...
And I told him, we have a reputation up on this radio show, and he's the radio voice of shooting from the hip.
Yeah,
and right now, not today. That's not the case. So, I want to encourage our callers to reach out, and let's engage in some lively dialogue about that topic. And certainly, if you have any other concerns, feel free to call in and let us know. Along those lines, as I mentioned earlier, we at Sim Trainer feel very strongly about the individual responsibility of training yourself to be able to proficiently handle the firearm, particularly when you're going to use it for self-defense. And I want to give you, even though I had this topic prepped all week long, just before I left at about 10 after 1, a frantic female came into the range and said, my dad just gave me a gun. I need to get an emergency TPO, and I need to get on your range and learn to shoot it. And we said, okay. And I said, well, what are you thinking about? She goes, well, I just wanted to shoot it today and find out if this is going to be okay, because I've never handled a gun in my life. So the assumption was she was just going to rent range time, go out on the range and shoot the gun that her dad had given her. And I clarified what she wanted to do, and then I engaged her in about a 10-minute dialogue about what my recommendation would be. And my recommendation was, we just happened to have a couple cancellations in the basic handgun class this evening, and I encouraged her to come to that. And after making a couple phone calls to make arrangements for her young children to be cared for, she decided to go to that to come to the class tonight. Now, on first glance at that, people say, well, heck yeah, that's what you do, because that's what you do. You encourage people to come to your training. They pay money. And let me tell you this. In her state of mind, I will assure you that this is the best option for her in her case in the short 15 to 20-minute conversation I ended up having. And here's the main advantage, just to give you an example. She's going to come to class tonight, and the first 2 hours of our basic class are going to be devoted to firearm safety, range safety, the parts of a gun or the nomenclature, the functional operation of a gun, the fundamentals of shooting, and then we're going to go out on the range, and she's going to get a chance under the direct supervision of our trained staff to shoot a variety of guns, the ones she brought, plus about 10 or 12 others of the most commonly utilized firearms that we found people to use for personal safety and self-defense. And the way we run that class is we set them up in, you know, we'll have a couple in each of the stalls, and they start rotating through the stalls until they find the one they like, and then they spend the second half of the class shooting the one that they like and getting proficient in it. And the advantage to that is they truly leave tonight's class with a real good idea of the gun they probably should buy or that is best for them. And it may not be the gun they've already bought. Interestingly enough, as Mark knows, people come to class sometimes with a gun that they've inherited or they went out and bought and they want to shoot that. And I have to tell you that our experience is the majority of the time, that's not the one they want to shoot because it's not right for them.
Yeah, so maybe it doesn't fit them correctly, or it's not the right style, the right shape. Maybe the operating characteristics of it are such that it's just not suitable for them.
Yeah, we had somebody recently come in and they want to carry a Sig Sauer P238. Very good gun, but it's the first gun they've ever handled, and our recommendation on that particular weapon platform is that for those of you that don't know about the Sig Sauer P238, it's a single action cocked and locked. In other words, the hammer's to the rear and it has a safety similar to the 1911 weapon system, and it wouldn't be something we'd recommend for people that are just getting into shooting would carry. And the first response we got from one of the people was that, they can pull the trigger easiest. And I say, yeah, that's probably the case because it's only a 2.5 to 3 foot pounds of pressure to activate the trigger. However, the fact that a safety has to be deactivated as the gun is being drawn from a concealed location creates a situation that requires additional training and ongoing training that we feel there are plenty of other guns out there that are better suited for those people new to the game. And the nice thing about our class is we don't introduce those guns to the beginning class, to the basic class. We instead get guns that we think are more suitable for them, and then they ultimately select one of those because they've never been exposed to those guns, and most of them are the same action or safe action configurations, such as the Smith & Wesson M&P, the Glock 19 or the Glock 26 or the Springfield XD or the XDM or the Ruger SR9s, and now cars come out with a number of single stack 9mm and the MK9 and the P9, and also we just recently added the Beretta Nano that's had some tremendous early reviews. It's a new gun, but it's a single stack 9mm that's going to certainly serve a purpose for some people that are so inclined to go with that that arrangement. But the nice thing about taking the class is they're going to be given a chance, like this young lady tonight, to feel the gun, to handle the gun, to operate the gun, and see if ultimately that's the gun she's going to use for personal safety and self-defense.
Jeff, let's go out and talk to James, who's calling from Dayton, who has a comment about the training issue for today. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say first, I am ex-military, and I'm well-versed in a few firearms. I have a CCL myself, and I do think that it should be required. I mean, you have you're required to take a class in order to drive a car, which is essentially, in the wrong hands, a 4,000-pound bullet. I do not have any problem with other people having handguns. I'm all for the Second Amendment. I think, you know, everybody has that right, as long as you're not a criminal and you know, you use it responsibly. But I also should have the right to know that the person that's carrying one right beside me understands and knows how to operate that, just like he would if it was a vehicle. I shouldn't have to second guess and know, you know, and wonder, does this guy know how to clean it, you know, and operate it and maintain it, you know, in a safe manner? Because if not, you know, like they said, guns don't kill people. People kill people, you know. And I think, you know, you should be required to have some type of formal training to just that way we know that it's in safe hands.
Well, James, you bring up some very good points. And let me just ask you while you're on the line, let me first of all ask you how you recommend we go about mandating the training or requiring the training.
Who's going to enforce that requirement?
Well, obviously, it would only take one time. Anytime a purchase is made, now, you can refuse it. Obviously, I don't want to infringe on somebody's rights, but, you know, just like we run a background check, all right? Well, run a background check. Have you had, you know, any kind of formal training should automatically come up into that. If not, then, that you know, the people that are selling it, you know, should try to, you know, say, hey, and encourage you into that. You decline it, so be it. But if you decline it, then, you know, you should not be able to have that handgun anywhere except for on your own personal property, to where you cannot hurt anybody else. You know what I'm saying? And then if you choose, like I said, you can go out there and get a pretty inexpensive course. And that way, you know, like I said, you get a little card or whatever. When you go in to buy something, you just show them your card. And then they don't even have to worry about that because they know you already had it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know you've been checked. They know you've been good. If I go into a gun store right now, and as long as I got my CCL on me and I pull it out and I got my driver's license and they do a quick check, I can buy anything I want and walk out of that store.
Right.
Because they know they're selling this to a responsible individual, you know what I'm saying, that's okay. But I think anybody that goes in there and hasn't had training, you know, you should definitely look at them a little bit more. Because like I said, you know, it could be a terrorist. It could be, you know, somebody that's not mentally well, you know what I'm saying, just like all the time. But like I said, it's just so easy to go and get you a card that says, hey, I've been trained. I know what I'm doing.
Well, James, we're going to go to a break, but I want you to stay on the line because you brought up a couple points I want to follow up on. If you can stay on the line, we're going to come back and get right onto that topic because you bring up a couple of valid points that we definitely need to expand on. So when we come back to the break, we'll pick that up. You're listening to Shooting From the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. And right before the break, we had James, who provided us with some pretty interesting perspectives about his feeling about whether or not firearms training should be mandated or recommended as a result of the increase in gun sales and gun ownership relevant to personal safety and self-defense. And he brought up a couple of great issues that hit right on point. And the one thing that I thought was very interesting, and James, if you're still listening, I hope I'm not misquoting you, but when I asked you to indicate how you expect people to go about enforcing that, you, like most of us, kind of hedged around the implication that government would in some way impose restrictions or sanctions or procedures for which people could get the training or what kind of training they should get. And I think that's probably a good approach because I don't think we want the government dictating what we have to do because they could change the rules at any time and then people are going to be left to their own. And Mark brought up a good point that in some of the jurisdictions where they've mandated training, like Washington, D.C., they mandate the training, but they don't allow ranges to provide the training because there aren't any ranges within the immediate proximity. So it gets to be very, very problematic. And let's go out to the phones and let's talk with Dennis. Dennis, you're apparently against the requirement of training. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. And you just answered a couple of my objections I have to it. Is one, James sounded like kind of like, well, I've had my training and I want everyone else to. But the problem is, once you go down that road, like you said, the government, then they can institute all kinds of new rules. Well, 12 hours was good. How about 24? How about a week, you know? And it just seems like a slippery slope.
They could do it for a lot of reasons. I agree. They could do it because they need revenue, and therefore they're going to mandate certain types of training and certain perspectives and make, you know, increase the fees and relevant
things.
And also
the Second Amendment, you know, it says shall not infringe upon. It doesn't say shall not infringe upon, as long as you have the government-approved training.
Well, as Mark so eloquently says almost every show, that that's one of the key words in the entire Second Amendment, or phrases, shall not be infringed, and that's the case. And whether you modify it, you you provide certain provisions, you're going to infringe on the right, and you bring up a very good point. And there are a lot of people, I think the majority feel your way. The other thing that to mention that I wanted to mention, when he's talking about his particular situation, he made the assumption, James made the assumption that, quote, they know, unquote, that I'm trained. Well, most of the people that are selling guns don't know the level of training that individuals have, and as a result, it's difficult for them to decide how to proceed with the sale of the gun. So there's a lot of unknowns, even when you engage in brief dialogue. And the other problem we find is that when people say their experience with guns, I have to tell you, in 8 years of experience, I take that like a grain of salt, because I pry and I probe, because experience with guns might be my grandpa collected guns all my life, and he gave them to me when he passed away, and that's their, quote, experience, unquote, with guns. They've not really handled them, operated them, fired them, and the like.
I agree, and again, I've always believed you can't legislate stupidity. You're always going to have some people that aren't trained and won't get trained, and you just can't legislate that.
Exactly right. Thank you for your call, Dennis. We appreciate that. Let's go back out the phones and talk to Tom. Tom, you might have a little bit different perspective.
Well, actually, I think you're all kind of lining up pretty much with me. First of all, I've become, as I get older, I'm actually a conservative, I'll even say Republican and all that, but I've become more and more sensitive to just plain civil liberties. And, yeah, like you said, I don't think the Founding Fathers wanted to be anybody sticking their nose into who has a firearm. And I think it was just de facto then, if a guy, you know, it don't take a lot of sense to know how to use one. We agree using it properly is a whole other issue.
Okay. Hey, Tom, stay on the line, because right after the break, we'll come right back with you. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I'd like to welcome our listeners back to the show, and if you'd like to get on the show today, I want to encourage you to call 457-1290. That's 457-1290. We've dedicated today's show to a discussion about firearms training. Should it be required or recommended given the increased numbers of guns being sold over the last couple years, mainly for the purposes of self-defense? Should training be mandated, or should it be something that individuals should be left to seek on their own and be responsible? And I want to tell you, our official stance at Sim Trainer, and it's pretty much uniform across the board, is that we don't recommend that it should be mandated. However, we strongly encourage people who are going to own, carry, keep for self-defense, or use a firearm to come down and get training in the use of that firearm, because we know that the decision to use it is going to be a difficult enough decision. The ability to use it is something that we want to pretty much just be second nature. We don't want you to have to think about it, that you've taken the training, you periodically practice, and it'll go much, much better if you ever need to use it under a high-stress situation, and that's been proven time and time again. So our stance is we recommend the training. We certainly offer high-quality training at Sim Trainer, whether it's in our classes or during private lessons, and the goal of our training is to get you to a level of proficiency at the end of the session or at the end of the training class, so that when you go out into the world, and given the way things are, you don't know when, you know, violence is going to find its way to your front doorstep, that you're capable, ready, willing to do what you have to do to defend yourself or other loved ones. So I want to go back out to the phones. If Tom, if you're still there, are you still with us, Tom?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all hit on one of my main points is that I actually took training with the Hamilton Police Department for my CCW, and I've always said I thought it was great to get my mindset correct about. It didn't get me thinking as much about even using a firearm as my own personal protection and my, I call it, what's your safety zone around you, things like that. I, actually try to avoid problems now more than I used to, because I know I have the power to react and I don't want to have to use it.
Being situationally aware, paying attention to what's going on around you, absolutely essential.
Yeah, people are very naive. But the thing I was going to say, the main thing is, I'm right back to this thing. I feel, and I'm no kind of anarchist or anything, but I feel the Founding Fathers just, that the right to bear arms was a linchpin in our maintaining our personal freedoms from even the government. It's always possible it could come to that point. None of us would ever, hard to even envision that happening now, because the government's so much in our lives. But I think that was a key element in their mindset. And so taking that away, and you say it starts with slow government control. I like the idea, we've got the NRA, we've got other organizations that support, that are out there, and with the proper, I think, media and so on, we can motivate people to do the right thing or do the best thing for them without forcing them to do it. Kind of like smoking cigarettes, you know, we don't take them away, but, we let people know that they can be very dangerous in the wrong hands, use them correctly. I was wondering about one thing, if I might ask you, just real quick. I just went to a Kimber Pro Carry 2 45.
Okay.
And I'll make it real quick, but I'm wanting the best way, if you could tell me real quick, to carry that. I know some of my friends will have it cocked with the safety on with one in the chamber. I feel a little weird about that. I'm wondering how you all generally would carry a weapon like that.
Well, my response to that would be, I want you to get over the weirdness through repetitious practice if you're going to carry that gun. Because if you're going to carry a 1911 type firearm that is designed to be carried cocked and locked, then you need to get yourself to a very high level of proficiency so that you will be comfortable, and that you are, in fact, each and every time out of the holster, up onto target, you're doing simultaneous things like you're getting it out of the holster, getting the muzzle pointed in the right direction. The safety's coming off. You're pushing to the target. Once you acquire target acquisition, then you're going to go ahead and mash the trigger or squeeze the trigger, and you're going to do what you have to do. And when it's time to reholster, then you got to reverse that process and make sure that safety goes back on before it goes back in the holster, because that's one of the most vulnerable points with a 1911 type weapon, is when you're reholstering and it might get caught up in a piece of the holster or something like that. And at a 2.5 pound trigger pull, that's the chance where it can be problematic. So in response
how practical would it be in a real situation to pull the slide back and load one in right at the time?
It's not very practical, because under high stress, fine motor skills are greatly reduced, and your ability to think through multiple thought processes, you mentioned mindset earlier, the ability to think yourself through multiple mindset or mind processes is difficult and minimized under high stress. So the being able to remember to take that gun out and rack it into the chamber, rack around in the chamber, is going to be potentially problematic. Now, I will tell you, there are some elite forces in the Israeli military that carry a gun with nothing in the chamber, and part of their draw stroke involves chambering around, pushing right to the target, and doing what they have to do. However, you got to realize those people train weekly, and
they can always jam. I mean, right? No matter who you are, you could have a jam.
That's possible, and under high stress, it's even greater likelihood. Yeah. So the answer to your question is to train, develop high competency, carry it cocked and locked, and you're good to go, and continue to train.
Oh, thank you very
much,
sir.
Okay.
That's a very safe one. I find that bigger weapon with me is not just more accurate, but I feel safer with it than a smaller one.
Okay. Well, just keep training.
Thanks very much
for the call. Let's go out to Glenn and Xenia. Glenn, you got a comment.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing, Glenn?
Good. Hey, I'm going to argue from a different perspective. My opinion, I'm kind of conservative, but I think sometimes conservatives throw the baby out with the bathwater, and I think that in this particular case, it's not necessarily a Second Amendment issue when we're talking about something as commonsensical as training. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, even from a libertarian perspective, I think that the government's basic role is for public safety and defense of the nation, and I think that's where probably most of your listeners maybe fall. So in that vein, it's not a constitutional issue. This is an issue where it's just plain common sense. And the government has a responsibility to protect me and to protect my family when we're out and about. And a gun owner who hasn't taken the requisite training is someone I would say is a danger to me. If something happens, like I'm in a restaurant and a robbery occurs and someone draws a weapon, they better be proficient in knowing where that bullet's going to go. Otherwise, I'm in danger and my children are in danger.
So the role of government then is to eliminate all danger from you and your family?
Well, no, they can't do that. And, you know, that's an impossibility. But what I'm saying is, what I've heard the listeners talk about is that, you know, our government, you know, they can't infringe on our rights to possess weapons. And I firmly agree with that. But what I'm saying is, you know, just the fundamentals. I guess over the last 3 weeks, there have been two instances in churches where, you know, gun owners, someone who has a concealed carry permit, takes the firearm out to show his friends, and a negligent discharge occurs, and one girl was shot in the head, and another person was shot in the chest. And you would think, well, don't take a gun out in church unless you absolutely need it. But here we have two people who have been certified by the government, I guess approved to carry a firearm, and they have, you know, negligently used it. And so I guess, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not quite sure where I would fall and how the government could actually rein in all the people who have purchased, you know, the umpteen millions of people that own firearms and make them train with it. But even if it's just going out on farmland and shooting it regularly and becoming proficient in movement and shooting, I would say that you know, that's something that every gun owner should do.
Glenn, let me interrupt you for just a second, and let me just kind of narrow it down to a very easy-to-discuss situation. You and I go to the Greene County Sheriff's Office to get our concealed holder's license, or we want to go to, let's say, we're going to go to a gun store and buy a gun. You walk up to the counter and you talk to the guy and you say, hey, I've had 30 hours of training. This is my background. Here's my certificates. I want to buy this gun. And he talks with you and maybe he convinces you to buy that gun or a different gun. Now it's my turn and I walk up and I say, well, I feel pretty bad here. I'm just kind of constitutional, a supporter of the Constitution. I expect that my Second Amendment rights going to be honored. I didn't know I had to have any training. I never read that I have any training. I just think I want to buy a gun and I want that gun. Sell it to me. How is that store owner going to deal with those two separate situations?
Well, I would say it would be a benefit to the gun owner, or at least to the store who sells firearms, or to a business like yours. And the benefit would be that it would be more business for you guys, because here's a person who wants to buy a firearm, and I'm not even saying it has to be. You and I both know that it's going to take hours and hours and hours for someone to become proficient and to be able to, you know, revert back to muscle memory and to probably not even think when they're pulling the trigger. It's just going to be stimulus response. So I guess what I'm saying is it a bad thing that a gun store would be providing training for someone so that when they walk out the store, they actually know how to, that the weapon functions and that they know how to shoot the weapon?
Well, how would they go about doing that? Are you saying that the government should maybe add an additional restriction on the federal firearms license in order to make it mandatory that gun owners only sell to people who demonstrate proof of training? Or how are we going to do it? That's specifically what I like to, how are they going to deal with you easily? You show your certificate, but then how are they going to deal with me? Are they going to turn me away and say the government doesn't allow me to have a gun?
No, I'm not advocating that the government has more authority than they should. I guess when people call in and they say, you know, this is a Second Amendment right that we have to have firearms and the government shouldn't infringe upon that right, I agree with them. All I'm saying is that we shouldn't throw out this whole thing. I think that the government does have a responsibility in one sense to provide for my safety. Do you agree with that?
I think you have the responsibility to provide for your own safety. That's my
stance. I agree with that completely.
I think that given the way the world is, at no point have I ever made a contract with any government entity to protect me. I'm responsible for my own safety, and I think that's one of the problems we've gotten ourselves into in believing that the government can provide for our safety.
Well, I guess I would agree with you. So you would maybe argue against having police forces in our society?
No, I still think they have a purpose, but they don't curb violence too much. I mean, think about this. I know your background. I know my background. When's the last time you stopped an act of extreme violence versus respond to it and cleaned up the mess?
Oh, well, it's been never.
There you go. There's my point. I don't think many times we do that. But stay on the phone with us, Glenn. We're going to go to our next break, but you provide some very, very interesting perspectives, and I'd like to continue that dialogue just a little bit longer if you wait with us after the break. You're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and I want to go right out to the phones because we have several people waiting and finish up with Glenn. Glenn, I'll give you 30 seconds. Have the last word.
Okay. Well, basically, you know, I don't want the government involved in my life any more than it already is, and really I would like it to be reduced. But I guess my point is that when gun owners aren't doing the things that they need to do and showing responsibility and taking training, that is so vitally important. If they're not getting the training, they're causing politicians to take a look at a problem that, you know, that they're going to feel like they need to fix. So it would just make sense for people who have a firearm to get training. And I think once they get into the training, they're going to want even more training because they're going to see how greatly their skills have improved.
We agree with you 100%. Thank you for your perspective.
Let's go out to Jeff, who's calling from Miami Township. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I know you're pressed for time, so I'll be quick. Instead of, you know, whether it's mandatory or not, consider this for a positive incentive, a marksmanship tax credit. That is, you turn in your target with a minimum required number of hits to the range officer. He signs it off. You can turn in a maximum amount of them per quarter, and that would make you eligible for a tax credit.
Interesting perspective.
Yeah. And then after that settles in, my next plan, that is if I was governor, I would then offer a sales tax waiver for all armed citizens.
Well, the one problem with that, with the increasing number of armed citizens, the government would obviously be losing potential resources because economic times being the way they are, they're trying to figure out ways to gain money as opposed to give it away. And I think they'd probably take the opposite opinion and say, okay, you can have your gun, you can have your permit, but we're going to tax it. We're going to charge you $35 extra on your tax return just because you're a gun owner. But you provide some interesting perspectives, and all our callers today, I appreciate you calling in. And
thanks a lot for calling in the show.
All of our callers called in with very good ideas, and I know the topic, when I was reading through it, it created a lot of different thoughts, and I have to say, in talking to some of the people I talked to before coming on the show today over the last few days, I got different perspectives, and that's what we're all about here on the show. We want to give people a chance to voice their opinions, to tell us what they think, to provide some insightful perspective, and debate back and forth some of the issues, because in some cases, there are no real answers. But I will tell you, as I mentioned earlier in the show a couple of times, at SimTrainer, our official stance is we rely on responsible gun owners doing the responsible thing. And quite frankly, because they come to us and because they get involved in the process, they're responsible to begin with. And so it's just natural follow through with those, because I don't really have contact with a lot of the people that just go out and buy a gun and then have the gun on their own. So we're fortunate in that the people that come to us come to us with good intentions, and it works out really well. And we take them to levels of competency that they never thought they could achieve. And we're very proud of that fact, and it works out very well. Mark, you agree with the way things go there?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really blessed at SimTrainer to have such a great group of people that are members and to come down and shoot and take our training and participate in our Tuesday evening league and just come down and shoot recreationally. If you have some opinions about this question, I put a question up on our Facebook page. You can get to that from sim-trainer.com/radio and click on the Shooting from the Hip fan page and go out to Facebook. And if you're registered on our site, you can also make comments as well. We'd love to have you join us again next week. Stay tuned now for There Is a Season with Bob and Gloria. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.